think the thing is, Andy, I'm quite a traditionalist, you know, just as my default position, I'm a traditionalist. But I think in any walk of life, you have to look at different options in progressing a business. We had a board meeting. I only saw the proposals. Literally, I opened the document just before I went into the board meeting. So I've not had a good chance to have a look at them, Andy, if I'm being honest.
Okay, but are you more of the it's not broken, don't fix it view, or is it always worth considering evolution?
It's always worth considering evolution. Obviously, like I say, in any business, in any organisation. But I'm very much a traditionalist. I like how things are working at the minute, you know. But I'll be guided by my board once we see all the full proposals and that. And the next relevant board meeting, I'll sit down with them, go through it, and then I'll be guided by what my board thinks.
And we know one option has been the possibility of development squads in the Football League Trophy. It's not mentioned specifically, but that seems to be one of those proposals that hasn't disappeared.
No, and I don't think it will disappear. Safeguards, you know, I fought tooth and nail to protect development squad stroke B teams entering the Football League pyramid. And as a result, you know, as a group, the Football League put in safeguards at the last AGM, at the end of last season, that protects that in that it will now require, instead of a simple majority, it will require a 90% majority for that to ever happen. Now, in regards of the JPT trophy as it currently is, it's a trophy that, let's be honest, is not very well supported by its member clubs in League One, League Two. In a lot of instances, it loses money for a lot of clubs. On principle, development squads, B teams entering it. Personally, I'm against it. My board might have a different view that we need to have a look at. But listen, if the financial inducements are there into a competition that historically for a lot of clubs loses the money, i.e. putting the game on, very poor attendances, you know, it's a bit of a pain in the neck for a lot of clubs, and if all of a sudden there is a lot of money there from the Premier League clubs that then makes that a financially viable option, I think a lot of clubs will consider it seriously.
Just looking back last week now, has the pain of Sunday night subsided at all, or is it a mistake for you to bring it up? Is it still hurting?
It's still hurting, but, you know, listen, Sunday was probably one of the worst days in my life. You know, probably, you know, I won't go into too much detail, but I know what the players were feeling, the manager was feeling. But if we want to be ready for next season, we have to put it behind us, dust ourselves down and get on. And that's what we've been doing in the early part of this week. And, you know, we're already looking forward to next season.
And I know the board are certainly giving Paul Cook their backing again for this summer, both verbally, but also there's going to be good support for him to increase the strength of that squad.
Listen, I think we've had a fantastic season. We fell short both in our league position and in the playoffs, but there's been a massive positive. We've moved forward on the pitch for the first time, I believe, in 8 or 9 years, if you look at, you know, the steady decline over the club over that period. So there's a lot to look forward to. Paul's got the basis of a good squad with 3 or 4 maybe real quality additions. I think we'll be knocking close on the door again next season.
And we know that I know you can't go into details of exact negotiations, but talks with Ben Davis and Danny Holland's going, and I guess supporters would like to see those two back again next season.
Yeah, listen, I believe supporters would. I think the manager would. I think as a club, we would as well. But, you know, it has to be the right deal for both the player and the club. And we'll only get that deal done when it suits both parties.
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of watch this space that talks ongoing with those two.
Yeah, and they're great lads. You know, they did add a great season for us. But you can't be sentimental in football. You have to move forward. You have to be looking at improving next season. And by the way, I'm not saying that signing Ben and Danny wouldn't mean we're not improving, but as I said, financially we've got strict budget, and it's just whether we can accommodate them in the budget for next season.
And obviously Paul's transfer listed 3 players. Is it a case of wait for some offers to come in, or could there be severance packages with those 3? How does that work?
Yeah, listen, each one of the 3 are different in their own right, but If Paul has transfer listed them and doesn't see them part of next season's squad, then in the first instance, as I said, we're hopefully more than hopeful that they're quality players and that there won't be a severance package and we can actually find a new home for them.
And you would imagine, because although perhaps it wasn't the best season for the three of them, we've certainly seen in the past that they do have quality.
Yeah, listen, I suppose in regard to Matt, he didn't get many starts, but when he did, he performed very, very well. And the same with McGurk and Naismith. You know, they're freak, absolute quality players. You know, great lads. And they deserve to be playing first team football week in, week out. Now, as Paul said, maybe that won't be with Portsmouth. And you know, for them and for any other club, they'll be a great addition.
And finally, obviously, speculation going around that there's going to be a swap between Matt Clark and Adam Webster with Ipswich. Any light you can shed on that?
No, there's, as you know, as a club, and rightly so, we won't comment on any negotiations or talks or anything of that matter until, ink's dried on contracts, and that's the correct way to do business.